Welcome to the Sexual Mindfulness Project podcast, where we talk about creating an intentional relationship and how to find joy in slowing down, letting go of judgment, and connecting more deeply with your partner. I'm Dr. Shalom Levitt, and today I'm here with Amber Price, Rebecca Clark, and Jenna Lawler. Welcome to this podcast. Today we're going to talk about how to be authentic, how to be genuinely yourself. And this sounds pretty easy, but it's a little trickier for most of us than we expect. One of the things that we know really contributes to someone being authentic or their genuine self is having a strong understanding of who they are. Right? Having a sense of self that they have firmly established in their own life.
To better explain sense of self, something that I think can kind of help is, I think self-esteem is sort of the buzzword that we all talk about a lot in society. And self-esteem is feeling good about yourself. And that can be important, although there's some research that says that actually can be problematic. You know, you can be very arrogant and have good self-esteem, and that's not a positive thing. Another area that we're all pretty familiar with is self-concept, and that's just kind of having a good understanding of yourself, of who you are. But even self-concept can really be shaped by others' opinions of you, just like self-esteem. Having a strong sense of self kind of combines those two pieces, but does it in a way that you're not shaping your whole sense of who you are based on what other people think of you. It's kind of going inside yourself and finding out who you want to be and then holding strong to that feeling and kind of letting go of some of these. I mean, the amount of information that's coming at us daily, telling us who we should be and what we should look like and how we should act and all of these things can be really tricky, but having a strong sense of self is kind of finding a way to let go of that a little bit.
I really love listening to you talk about this, Amber. You know, this is your area of research. This is what you're doing your thesis and your PhD on. I love listening to the clarity about how you think of this, because I think so often we tell ourselves little lies. We all fall into it. I think I have to play this role that society has told me I need to play. Or I think I need to buy into these attitudes that maybe were really prevalent in my family. And so there's a little part of me that says, yeah, that doesn't feel right. That's not truly who I am, but I buy into that.
Shalom, you're talking about kind of these moments of self-doubt and kind of wondering where I am with sense of self. And I guess I wondered that for Amber, like, how would I know? How can I know if I have a solid sense of self? How might I know if I should work on that?
I feel like a couple of thoughts come to mind on that. First of all, we all probably don't have a very strong sense of self unless we've like consciously put some effort into it. I think it's just our nature to have this reflected sense of self where we take what other people tell us and we define ourselves by that. And so in some ways that can be okay, you know, as you're a child and stuff, that's how you learn about who you are. But I think we get into this pattern of that in adulthood where that's just what we're doing. And when you actually stop and start thinking about what am I doing in my life that's based on other people's opinions or what media tells me I should be or who I think, you know, just those shoulds, those supposed tos. I think when you start to pay attention to those, you start to realize just how often you're doing that. And I think you really have to sit down and say, what am I doing that is that reflected sense of self instead of a strong sense of self? And then you have to start challenging it. And I think it's a process. But on the other hand, I feel like each of us can think of people in our own lives who really do have that stronger sense of self. And I think they're usually the people that you find that you're able to connect with the easiest. You know, I think of an aunt of mine who, I remember when I was a kid, my parents said, oh, this particular aunt, everybody thinks she's their best friend because she's just that open and loving and able to connect with people. And I think that's a function of that strong sense of self that she probably has. She's comfortable with who she is. So she's able to go deep with other people.
I think it's really interesting as you bring that up, that what I notice with people who have a weak sense of self is that they either automatically capitulate to whatever the person is promoting that they're talking to, or they take a really strong, intractable stand on something and can't listen to others. So clearly your aunt could still be who she was and maybe even disagree with you in a really gentle way, but certainly accept what your perspective was and be okay with that.
Right, because her own sense of self isn't being threatened by that because she's strong in it. It's not threatened by other people's opinions or input.
Yeah, I love that. And it's something that I find in my classes, often students will admit to the fact that they kind of change who they are depending on who they're around, right? Like, especially when we're dating, if we start to get serious with one person and we change, we like everything they like without really thinking about what it is that I like. And so we automatically mold to whatever the person is we're with, or we just are really dogmatic and insist that people agree with us. And that's problematic. But like you're saying, just being aware of that in your life might help you to start making those changes.
Amber, do you have any other kind of tips or tricks on how I can develop my sense of self, or how your aunt got to be who she is?
I think maybe even sit down and write out all of the different things that could be used to describe you, the different roles that you play, the different labels people might use for you, different adjectives people might use to describe you, different ways people might define you. Just brainstorm, just dump them all on paper. And I don't even think in one sit down, you'd probably get them all down. It would be a place to start that. And whether you accept those or not, just anything that you think other people might use to describe you, and then pay attention to that. I think, and then go through and say, which of these do I want to own? Which of these is who I want to be? But then I think it's a process. I don't think in that one sit down, you're going to figure this all out. I think then through the course of that next week, you're going to notice more ways that others are defining you. And sometimes they're so subtle and so little that it takes really, really paying attention. Just keep writing them down and keep challenging them. And really, you don't have to know who you are right now, but you can just start to take some steps towards that. This is who I want to be. And so can I lose some of these other descriptions of who I am in favor of who I really do want to be?
I like that process you're describing. And I also like that you're encouraging journaling, because we know that really journaling about where we're at right now helps us keep a record of how we, you know, make progress in our life. But we also know that just actually writing those words down seems to help connect something in our brain so that we internalize it better, right? We are our own therapists through journaling. And so that's a really important process to go through.
You can actually come at it from a different direction too, maybe. I think that this authenticity is closely linked with intimacy and being able to be emotionally intimate in all your different relationships. So maybe taking a look at how able do I feel to engage in intimate conversations, whether it's with your spouse or partner, or with a good friend, or with a sibling or a parent. Like, do you feel comfortable sharing who you are deep down? Or do you feel like you have to hide that a little bit? And if you're feeling like you have to hide that a little bit, it's probably because of this reflected sense of self. You don't really want to have other people see who you are, because that's scary. You might not measure up if you're not comfortable with who you are. But as you get comfortable with who you are, then you're more able to let others see that person.
It reminds me of a quote from Elder Maxwell. And he was talking about being true to yourself, right? Kind of knowing who you are and understanding the process that helps you get there, just like what we're talking about today. And he said, trials and tribulations tend to squeeze the artificiality out of us, leaving the essence of what we really are and clarifying what we really yearn for. I love that. I think that, again, when we have conflict in our relationship, that might be an opportunity for us to look at what this says about our sense of self, right? How all those things that I wrote down on the piece of paper, some of them maybe I'm trying to weed out, right? I don't accept that as part of who I am at my core. And so when I hit this moment of conflict, that brings it to a head and I can really address, am I going to embrace who I really want to be and act in a way that's congruent with that? Or am I going to fall back into these old patterns?
And I think when you are met with conflict, it's actually a pretty important point where you can see sometimes that reflected sense of self. Sometimes we don't want to engage in conflict, or we don't want to acknowledge our own weaknesses because we want that validation that we're good enough, not, hey, you know what? I had a part in this conflict and I need to own up to that and address what I need to change in myself. If we are feeling like we need that validation that no, I'm actually a really good person. I'm actually a really good wife and he shouldn't be mad at me because blah, blah, blah. Instead of, you know, turning it back and saying, actually, I have things to work on, that can be problematic too.
And I think if we think about being authentic in our sexual relationships, that brings a new dimension, right? Because sometimes we're pretty shut down sexually and we're a little embarrassed or cautious or afraid to tell our partner what we really hope for in our sexual experience, our sexual relationship. Maybe we're wanting to be a little more creative, but we don't dare say that because of some roles that we've taken on. You know, we think that women maybe don't enjoy sex. And so we've bought into that idea and that impedes us being our authentic self in this sexual relationship.
This is making me think about the importance of just emotional and kind of psychological flexibility and resilience. And I had a friend who was a hospice chaplain, actually, and she talked about working with these people who are at the end of their lives. And she said, it's just, you know, maybe not surprisingly, just an immensely, enormously spiritual experience. And she said, it's because they've had all the corners knocked off of them. They're so kind of tender and they're so open. And I think, how great to be able, it was kind of like she was saying that they were kind of had become the essence of who they are. And I think what a neat sort of life journey to take to try to get to that essence, you know, maybe before you're at those last days, but to try to find, you know, knock off those corners, like Amber was saying, kind of notice, like, what have I built up that is maybe a defense or maybe a way of, you know, a mechanism for seeking approval? Or, I mean, that's a deep-seated need to be approved of and to fit in and to have people love you. I mean, that's a biological need. We have that need to be, you know, it's important to our survival. But if we can work through that and realize I can try to be who I want to be and who I choose to be. And I sometimes wonder if we're not so much discovering it as we are maybe choosing it on purpose according to kind of how we feel. I'd like to, like, do you choose yourself, do you think, or do you discover yourself?
That's a heavy question. I mean, I think ideally we choose ourselves, right? We've got a million people telling us who we could or should be, but who do you want to be? Like, I mean, and I think that at some level, we all have gifts and talents that we can accept. I keep thinking back as I've been thinking about this journey to some comments my dad made to me when I was really little. I think I was like 4 years old, probably. And I don't remember why I was doing this or anything, but I remember that I wanted to give somebody a gift. And so I went up to my little bottom drawer of my dresser that was like my toy box. And I found some little toy and I wrapped it up in a piece of notebook paper. I don't remember what I was doing with it, but I remember my dad saying, Amber loves to do nice things for other people. And I don't know why, that's probably the only words that my dad said at that age that I can remember, but somehow that stuck with me. And I always think about, was that because it was a truth about me, or is it something that I chose to have be a truth about me? And I don't know, but it is still a truth about me. I do love doing nice things for other people. And I do choose that, whether I came with a little bit of a gift for that or not. I don't know, but I am making that choice for sure and holding on to that one. And not because I want other people to see me doing nice things for them, but because it feels good and it's what I want to do.
I like what that could reflect in marriage, that maybe if we say these things, that we see potential, we see seeds of potential in our partners. And we say, you know, you are a really giving person. And that encourages it. I love that, you know, we might be able to gently encourage positive aspects of our spouse's sense of self. I have been thinking lately about this idea that conflict, like we were just talking about, that conflict brings this opportunity for greater intimacy. If we can be true to who we are, if we can be authentic, right? If we can kind of share things that are hard, that are vulnerable, that are a little dicey in our own mind, you know, and then we're met with love and kindness and openness, and it's a safe place. And I've been thinking about this idea that what if marriage is not about being happy? It's about developing. right? Now, hopefully happiness comes along the way with that. As we discover who we are, we kind of settle into having that solid understanding of what our core values are. And then we share that with another person. That will bring happiness eventually, but maybe not every day. And that shouldn't scare any of us. And not knowing who we are, I love how you've described this, Amber. Not knowing who we are, it's nothing to be deflated about. It's something to kind of get excited about, right? This is something we get to choose and guide along the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I think it's kind of a fun journey to be on together as a couple. If you're both kind of trying to discover who you are, we kind of started out saying reflected sense of self is bad, but at some levels, hearing what your partner says about you can be a good thing. If you're choosing, yeah, I do want to be that person and things like that. And then there is a struggle, probably there's always a struggle as you're trying to grow and develop. But when you're doing that with your partner, and if you're both working at it and kind of supporting each other along the way, it's really fulfilling.
Yeah. And in fact, I think David Schnarch would probably say we need to have a flexible sense of self. And that's exactly what you're describing, is that sometimes we take influence from other people and maybe change something about us that up until that point had been a tightly held belief or, you know, value. But we understand the importance of the influence that our partners may have.
Yes. And also he says, he talks about tolerating discomfort for growth. And it is going to be a hard journey, but he talks about, like, you're going to have anxiety either way. You're going to have discomfort, whether you're stagnating or you're growing. You might as well choose the growing end of things.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, that really goes back to the purpose of marriage may not just be happiness. It may be development. And hopefully, you know, happiness comes along quite often in that process, but growth is the key. Thank you so much, Amber, for sharing your wisdom with us and those insights. What a nice discussion. That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sexual Mindfulness Project, and subscribe to our website, shalomlevitt.com, to stay up to date with the latest information on sexual mindfulness. Thanks for listening.